Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. My name is Mud Toe, and this is the Midnight Garden. And I invite you to sit with me between the tangelos and the tangerines. And they do get along, okay? And talk with me about things great and small, important and maybe not quite so important. It's Friday midnight again, and time for us to go through our weekly half an hour ritual. First, I do want to report, and then not mention it again, that I am on 20 days of sobriety. Thank you very much. I feel your applause. The applause is not necessary. It's just about it's about my well-being. It's about me and not about anything else. But I do want to check in since I made a point of telling you all when it all came crashing down before. So I hope I have that added right. It should be Sunday would be 21 if you count this as Saturday because it's after midnight. So let's talk about that better. Let's speak of the biggest thing happening in Mud Toe's world this week is I have a friend who returned from a long time away, and without getting into too many of the details because it's not my story to tell, she is quite ill. She arrived back here in the Midwest, to my large city in the Midwest, with nothing, suitcase basically. Her two grown daughters brought her back here and placed her in a hospital where she's undergoing treatment for cancer. And all of her friends have just responded in such a huge way. It warms my heart, and it takes a lot to warm my heart. I was able to visit her several times, which is not something I ordinarily do. Hospitals, the energy of hospitals, very difficult for me to combat. It's difficult for me to stay in that energy field for a long period of time. But I went and I sat for hours at a time. I sat with her. I sat with her relatives and friends, the others who had come to support her, to help bring her back, and felt nothing but joy. And absolute positivity that this was a good thing, this was a right thing. Where in most situations, I can think of about 20 things that are wrong for everything that might be right. In this particular situation, I could not do so. So I decided to just go with it and maybe learn something about myself, the process. A total of three times. And the third time was just last night. I arrived rather late. I had a commitment earlier in the day. I got there like 7 o'clock in the evening. And one of her daughters and some other person that I didn't know were there. Usually it's a much larger crowd. Let's say it was late. But they were just leaving. So it was me and my friend. And to make things worse or better, depending on how you look at it, she does not hear well. So the old mud toe running off at the mouth strategy, talking about anything that comes into my head except what we're here for, was not going to fly. I was since only a certain number of my words were going to get through, I needed to be direct, and I needed to be concise. I needed to make my words count. I can't think of many situations in my lifetime where that has been the case. Usually my go-to strategy was words, words, words. Many words out there and bombard, so you know, feelings don't get through. But there I was, so I listened a lot. I heard life experiences that I had heard before, life experiences that I had not heard before, things that I would not have imagined. My reaction to this was to first was to try to lighten the mood. To be empathetic. Maybe empathetic is not the word I want, but to speak of experiences I had that might map onto experiences she had had, but they're really. Those attempts on my part were pretty pathetic. I couldn't get anywhere close to the gravity of what I was hearing. And trying to join the team, as it were, those efforts seemed more pathetic than empathetic. So the order of the day was to listen. I did that. What an astonishing thing it is to just sit and listen. Listen to pain, listen to joy. Listen to, I mean, the joy of that she had for the people who had come to help her pass the time as the doctors tried to help her put on a few pounds so she could start her treatments and then start those highly nasty cancer treatments. But she didn't speak of it. She didn't linger on the pain or the nastiness. She recognized the pain. Kind of a Buddhist sort of idea. She acknowledged the pain and she let it pass. I've never had the courage to do that. And I've always looked to other people for courage in my life. I'm sitting here talking about this, and there's some channel in my head that's thinking of what's the next thing. Once this topic runs out of gas, what's the next thing I'm going to start talking about? And it occurs to me that there's really nothing I can go to at this point that doesn't seem inappropriately light, as if this thing that's happening to someone that I know and love is somehow, okay, you talked about that, now let's talk about this other thing. I did have a couple of other things. I was scrambling around before I went on the air, and I was trying to put together all of my Shaolin Tarot stuff. And I'd come up with this terrible, awful, horrible, inappropriate tarot question. I was going to, my friend's, I was going to say hotel room. It's a hospital room. A number of times. And just crowds of her friends there to help take care of her. And pretty much she has a high proportion of rather hot friends. And that was going to be the tarot question. What are the prospects for romance for people I met in the hospital? Okay, if I'm going to do the tarot, I think it needs to be something a bit more profound than that. But let me finish with my original story first. I stayed for about 3 hours, and the time flew. I wouldn't have believed going in there, and I keep patting myself on the back. I wouldn't have believed going in there that I could have lasted that long in that hospital environment, listening to a story that was a joyful story at times, was also a painful and anguished story at times. And they teach you, the first time I went, you're always taught when you go in and visit people, this is back in my youth church days, my youth league, whatever. When you go in, when you go to visit people in the hospital, you need to mentally prepare yourself before you go through the room for what you might see. Because it's a very bad thing to have a negative reaction. You want to be very positive at all times. You can go by yourself, you go, oh, you know, ah. Don't do that. You want to be, hi, how are you doing? Oh, you're looking great. That kind of thing. Even if it's a lie, you know, you do it anyway because it's good for their well-being and helps them develop a move towards a resolution. And I'd had to do that the first time I went in. I was very unprepared for what I saw, for how wasted she was. As I say, that's gotten better, but there's still a long way to go. And it was all I could do to not, you know, oh my God, I haven't seen you for so long. Not fake. Fake is not fair. Positive, which in it's easy to mix the two up. It's easy to mix the two up intentionally, not just accidentally. So the intention to set a good intention, that's what I probably should have. And I think unconsciously I did because of the way things went. And I was the only one in there that first day, too. And about half an hour later, other people started to file in. But this time was in the evening, and I don't know that I've ever spent any time, you know, in a hospital in the evening, except when I was in, when I was a kid. But the mood and the energy of the place changes. Hospital is very frenetic during the day. Much more relaxed in the evening. So without that buzz, that kind of background going on, the air was much clearer between my friend and myself. And I was able to open my heart and feel the things that she was saying. There's only been a very few times in my life when I've had a feeling like that. One of them was when my granddaughter was born. I don't know, maybe there was only one. That's the only one that's coming to mind after than others. So I really thought about it. But those, I mean, I'm thinking of my the moment with someone I had professed to hate, my ex-wife. She was there along with her sort of cohort, and I was there by myself. And she made, I've been perfectly happy to just sat there silently the whole time. But she made the effort to come over and speak to me. And that same thing, and it was still a very energetic environment, but she was sort of protecting me. Her friends were still there. They're kind of looking at me like, asshole. But when she came over and talked to me, it became okay. And one by one, they filtered over and started to join the conversation. We were talking about what had happened when our daughter was born, who was now having her daughter, our granddaughter. And that act of sharing, that act of open-hearted sharing, canceled out 20 years of misery, 20 years of acrimony. And those things have never reasserted themselves. We do fine now. No, we're not best buddies, but things that went on before, things I said, I don't know about things she said. I've heard things through my daughter that I had presumed could not have originated with her. They had to have come from a mother. But that's not, it doesn't mean anything anymore. That's stuff that has passed away. It went with the mist, and it's gone now. You can't, the mist doesn't recoalesce. It disperses and it's gone. And this is the same sort of experience I was having last night. After about 3 hours in there, the nurse came to give her evening meds, which basically meant that we were done because this is going to knock her out. She's getting all manner of painkillers and whatnot. So I asked her if she wanted me to leave. And she asked me if I wanted to leave. I said, no, I would stay. She was all right with it. I would stay until she fell asleep. She said, okay. And so we sat in silence for a few minutes. And our eyes were closed. Head was on the pillow. And I thought, okay, cue my exit, stage right. And I was about to stand up. And she said, do you believe in miracles? I said, yes. And she said, what is a miracle to you? I said, well, I guess a miracle is something that can't be explained in any other way. And she propped her head up. She put her, and propped her head up, and she said, say more. I said to her, I'm a science-y guy. I got a degree in engineering. I learned that what you do is you build strong conclusions based on reliable observations and data. And that's how you arrive at the truth. But sometimes something happens. It just laughs in the face of all of that. And we sciencey guys, we get our panties in a bunch. We stomp our feet, hold our breath. We say, well, we just need to study this. That's all. We just need to study this and gather observations and reliable data, and we'll reach conclusions. And by God, we will understand this. But that never happens. We never do understand it because God doesn't play by our rules. I don't think she was awake through that whole thing. I think she was asleep by the time I was done. But when it was clear she was asleep, I left. And I walked back past the nurse's station, down the hallway to the elevators, down to the ground floor and now to the parking lot. I probably saw about a half a dozen people. Like most of them worked for the hospital. There was one I'm pretty sure was a civilian like myself. But I wanted them all to see me. I haven't quite analyzed that. Maybe I shouldn't try. But I wanted them all to see me. And not all of them did. I remember that coming off the elevators, there was a gentleman pushing one of those four polisher, the floor, the big thing, and he pushed. And he looked up at me and he smiled and he said, how are you tonight? And I said, I'm doing well, thank you. How are you? And he says, I am blessed just like you are. And I couldn't argue with him. Of the evening I'd spent, I was blessed. And I made my way out into the parking lot, and something made me want to turn around. So I was walking out with my back to the hospital. Turned around and I faced it. Here's this 9-floor granite building. The windows, most of them out now. And this is where healing is supposed to happen. Physical healing is supposed to happen. And most of the people there are going to get their healing. Some of them aren't. And maybe one or two of them will be the recipient of miracles. Is it selfish of me to hope that one of those miracles goes to my friend who has worked so hard, raised six children and seen two of them pass before she has, who has been badly abused, and it's not my story to tell. I'm not going to repeat it. Is there not room in the heart of God, even in this place where so many people need a miracle, for me to fold my hands and ask for that to happen for my friend? Serious meditation tonight. And yet joyful. Or rather, it's the joyful, not joyful at the moment. Well, I'm joyful for what passed last night. Joyful from my friend being back where I can see her and talk to her and not off in some far-flung part of the country. And I owe her something. Last year or 2 years ago, 2 years maybe. So when her younger son passed away. And I told her I would write a story about it. Ask her permission if I could. She said yes, and I never did. Now, several years before that, when her older son passed, I told her I would write the story, and I did that one. The second one I never did. My story machine just seems to be clogged for some reason. It used to come so easily. I don't have the I don't have the energy to make it real. But I'll tell you, the words are flowing into my head now, as you might have noticed before, and this thing might happen. And I've got this story, the story of this night, and I have the story of her younger son, and I have the story of her older son, which I've already written. And that's three stories. And that's a decent chunk of the way to a book. The thing that I have dreamed of doing forever. And of all of the things that she's gone through and all of the things, all the lives that she's touching right now. Could a part of that be to kick mud toe in the ass? To get him moving on these things that are in his heart? To not just selfishly keep them in his heart, but put them someplace where people can share in them. And if nothing ever happens with them, then nothing ever happens with them. But at least I put them there. I think I've received a shot of courage. But again, it's my responsibility to follow through. There's not near as much time as there used to be. There's only 90 seconds. That's all I got. Okay, well, I want to thank you for joining me for this particularly dreary version of the Midnight Garden. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll be back next week. And have a pleasant good evening.